You know, again, we had a great time on yesterday, a lot of work, and you know, anything that comes without sacrifice is not worth having. Amen. Let me repeat that. Anything that does not come with sacrifice is not worth having. And a lot of people sacrifice. You had your deacons out there putting up tents yesterday, and Al had to cut grass on Friday, so we were whirling, but I thank God for the opportunity to represent Jesus Christ. And that's really what it's all about. When you're representing Christ and what you do and your character and the way that you greet people and you share with them, it has an amazing impact. And the moment we stop our light from shining is the very moment that the Christ that we have in us, we're hiding him. We're not allowing him to speak to the world and change the world. We wonder why the world is the way it is. Well, part of it is because we've been kind of sitting back. I'll share more about that in just a minute. I want to pull up Mr. Jeremiah and share a little bit about that. So turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 40, where we're going to be coming from today, and then we're going to have some more music. We're going to have a great time today. You are in the Crossroad Baptist Church. If you're joining online, we are excited about having you here today. Amen. I'm even working on next Sunday's sermon. That's how excited I am. We'll talk about grown folk conversation. Amen. Amen. But if you're not excited about Christ, then what are you excited about? If you're not excited about serving God, then what brings joy to your life? It is only Christ. It is only the Lord who causes us to live and have our being. Thank you for Barbara Prade and Company. They're going to get some more from them in just a second. Isaiah. Did I say Isaiah? Jeremiah. Miss Campbell was looking at me like, okay. Jeremiah chapter 40 is where we find our text for today. It says, the word of the Lord, or the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord after Nebuzaradan, the commander of the imperial guard, had released him at Ramah. He found Jeremiah bound in chains among all the captives from Jerusalem and Judah, and who were being exiled to Babylon. When the commander of the guard found Jeremiah, he said to him, "The Lord your God decreed this disaster for this place." Verse 3, "And now the Lord has brought it about. He has done just as he said he would. All this happened because you people sinned against the Lord and did not obey him. But today, I'm freeing you from the chains on your wrists. Come with me to Babylon, if you like, and I will look after you. But if you do not want to, then don't come. Look, the whole country lies before you. Go wherever you please." Verse 4 emphasizes, "But today I am freeing you from the chains on your wrists." I want to just share with you a brief thought this morning, living off the chain. Living off the chain. Amen. Living off the chain. You may be seated. Father God, we thank you again for your amazing love and your grace. I pray that you would help me to proclaim your truth. And that, Lord, that others would be able to understand what you're saying in such a time as this. Thank you, Lord, that we can speak out as Jeremiah did. Share with people. Give them hope in very tragic and difficult times. As always, Lord, we love you and we praise you and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I know you've heard the statement that people use a lot of times. They're off the chain. And it's usually in a negative way because someone is either acting out or not portraying the character that we want them to and the way that we would want them to do that. So they're off the chain. But there's a difference when you realize that people are in bondage. They are in chains. They are in chains. Their lives represent those that have been torn apart or had tragic things to happened to them, and gradually it's brought them down. It's kept them weighed down and burdened. They're under the chain. It's very difficult for you to survive when you're under the chain. It's tough for you to live when you're dragging a chain around, or you're bound by something from your past that is keeping you from your future. It's bad when you're on a chain. A lot of chains we put on ourselves. A lot of times we put ourselves in stress. We had a situation happen yesterday. I got to tell this because we had an administrative crew that was working to get the information on all the car participants, and somehow or another the directions got changed around. But you know what? They kept rolling. They kept rolling, and we kept working. And again, it just shows what you can do when you're not under too much stress. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are under stress today? Let me raise my hand. It's not that you have the stress upon you. The damage comes when you got the stress in you. That's when it becomes challenging. That's when you get to the place where you can't function. When you've got a plan and you know the plan's going to work, you just keep working with it. Sweat pouring off you, but you're saying to yourself, we're going to get this done. We're going to roll with it. And that's how you're able to do things. The Church of Jesus Christ has always been under pressure. Much like Jeremiah, the things of this world will try to restrain you and keep you from doing what you feel that you need to do. In a little bit, I'm going to give you five groups of people that will put you in chains if you let them. Kids, if you let them. But I want to give you a little bit about what happened in Jeremiah's life. He did not have everything easy in his life. He had difficulties trying to tell people, listen, do what God tells you and life will turn out fine. If you disobey God, life is going to get hard. He warned them time and time and again, if you follow God's plan, it's going to come out all right. The people rejected that. Being one of the major prophets in the Bible, Jeremiah was called during the time where the Babylonians presented a huge threat to the people of Israel. They came to Israel and they were actually sent by God to punish the people because they had bowed to idols. Now, you may not think that we've got idols today, but I beg you to please look again. And if you don't know whether we've got idols, look in the mirror. You might be looking at one. So Jeremiah was called to present the truth, to tell Israel about their sin. And at a time, he said to himself, I don't even want to preach this because nobody's going to do what I'm telling them to do. But the word of God, he said, was like fire shut up in his bones, and he could not hold back. That's when God's word comes forth. I made a few notes that I wanted to share with you because we think if you serve God, people are going to like you, you're going to be all right, and everybody's going to be on your side. Don't believe that. Because if you look at Jesus, he had wounds in his side. He had scars in his hands. He had stripes on his back, which demonstrated how cruel and how mean people can be in this world. But it's all right to have the difficulty. Don't let it build up in you and put you in chains. Are you all still here today? So he preached the word. He was faithful to God. He faced people that had said to themselves, the angry mob came to him when he started preaching. They wanted to stone him to death. And then the leader said, wait a minute, let's hear him out. Let's see what he's got to say. All because he was telling them to turn from their wickedness. And then the elected officials decided they wanted to speak out against him. So they put him in the stocks. which was a public spectacle. It was supposed to be punishment as well as embarrassment. Being in the stocks meant that everybody would come and look at you. They would usually have your crime posted, and here was Jeremiah. What was his crime? Telling people the truth. Telling them what they did not want to hear. And when they set him free from the stocks, guess what he did? He kept preaching. He kept living for God because he knew that that was the only way that he was going to carry out what God had wanted him to do. So it got to the place where the people did not want to listen. And then finally, when the threat of the Babylonians attacking the nation of Israel was so real, they said, well, wait a minute, maybe this guy is up to something. Let's see what he's got to say. So Jeremiah, by that time, he and Baruch had put together a collection of the prophecies in a book. God told them to do that. So they took the book to the king and said, now you all hide out and we'll find out what the king thinks about this. When the king heard the prophecies, he took each one of the pages, took a penknife, cut it in pieces, threw it into the fire. People don't want to hear. They didn't want to hear it then, and guess what? They don't want to hear it now. They don't want to hear that because people have their mind bent on doing what they want, and they do not think that there are consequences. There are consequences to the choices that you make. If you decide one thing and you think it's not going to have any consequence, you better think again. So what is it about this thing about living off the chain? Got a couple of notes I want to just bring to you. How would you describe your life? Are you free to go? That's what Nebuchadnezzar said to Jeremiah. You're free to go. The question that a lot of people have, if I get off the chain, where am I going to go from there? And when I speak about chains, I'm talking about everything from drug habits to the habits of gossip. The ones that church folk don't like to talk about. See, you could be under something. You could have something influencing your life and not be free to love people, free to say, hey, I'm going to do what I can. Your life might be in chains and you may not even be aware of it. Are you chained down? Here's a good indicator. When you go to sleep at night or you lay down and rest, you still have stuff running through your mind. If you got stuff going through your mind, you're not really at rest. You got some chains to deal with. My daughter had bought me some chains. I was going to wear them today, but I didn't. Thought that was a little bit over the edge. So anyway, I'll wear them next time. We'll talk about that when we deal with next Sunday's sermon, all right? Yeah, we're going to talk about grown folk conversation. So what is it that we need to reflect on? I think that there are some things about Jeremiah's position that you may be able to identify with, because when you've been called to live by God's word, you're not only thinking about what am I doing right now, but you're also thinking about how is that going to impact the future. Everybody wants to go into the future. Everybody. Even the person that says, I don't have any hope, you still want to go into the future. And you will have a future. But whether that future is bright or not depends on what you are going to do about the chain that's on your life. If you make a decision that I'm not going to deal with it, then you're saying to yourself, it's going to get heavier. And I'm just going to have to bear it. So what was Jeremiah's position? The first thing, he had a message that was rejected. Have people ever turned against you because they just didn't like what you were saying? And you didn't back down. You kept saying, well, hey, this is me. This is who I am. You could be the type of person that just kind of wears a disguise and just goes along, get along. But that too is a chain. Jeremiah's message was rejected because he was telling people, you can't live that way and serve God. Second thing about Jeremiah, he suffered the wrongs of others. Get this. Here he was, he's preaching, he's telling people, turn from your evil ways, turn to God, and the Lord's going to bless you. They didn't do it. But rather than him saying, okay, that's y'all. You know how we say them and us? Down in the country, we would say them. That's another group of people. That has nothing to do with me. Jeremiah suffered along with everyone else. When the Babylonian army had actually gotten through to Israel, because they laid siege for a couple of years and they laid siege against Jerusalem, even though they had resources, they sieged them to the point where the food ran out. Water supply, even though they had supplied aqueducts into the city, the Babylonians were able to come in and invade the city because it was God's will to bring the nation down to the point where they would get on their knees and say, God is right. Now, rather than saying, told you so, told you it was coming, here's Jeremiah in chains, just like everybody else, walking out of Jerusalem, headed into exile, just like everybody else, because he said, I'm not going to quit the people that I love. Let me say that again. I'm not going to leave the people that I care about. Jesus is one who suffers right along with us. He knows every time you get in trouble. He knows every weakness that you'll have. And you might say he comes to help us bear our chain. Let me ask a question. Has the Lord ever let you down? Has he ever turned away from you? Has he ever turned his back on you? Here's Jeremiah, a type of Christ, right along with him. They're suffering, he's suffering. And then finally, he's recognized by the Babylonian army. He said, wait a minute, that's that prophet. That's that guy that was warning them about this. Let me see what he wants to do. So he comes and he wants to free him from the chain. But guess what? Jeremiah's already free because he didn't have to bear the burden. Any burden you got, God said, I'll take it for you. Any problem you're facing, the Lord said, I'll help you to carry the load. All you got to do is take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. A lot of people say, I'm going to carry my chain all by myself. Good luck with that. You're going to need luck, because blessing ain't going to work until you turn to God. You're going to need God on your side. Come on, any witnesses in here? Third thing about it, then I'm going to tell you about five groups of people you need to be careful with. Third thing about it, he was burdened that people turned away from God. Are we burdened? Are we as a church that says, we want to preach the gospel? Are you burdened about people who are lost? And then my second question is, if you're burdened by people who are lost, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? He was a guy whose life could have been a whole lot easier if he said, ain't none of my business. I'm just going to take care of me and my house. Using Joshua out of context, as for me and my house, that's where some people are. The only thing I'm concerned about, me and my house. You're still in chains because you're not free to do what God wants you to do. How many of you love the Lord so much, God tells you to do something, and you do it to all your strength, all your might, and it wears you out. But then the next day, you get up, and you do the same thing again because you can't stop. How many of y'all like that? You're one of those crazy Christians. You're one of those folk that love Jesus. You're that one that's excited about serving God because you're living the unshackled life. What I'm going to do in the next few minutes is to help you to get unshackled. The key is you got to turn it over to God. Amen. The key is you got to stop thinking, oh, I got it. I've learned one thing at 70 years old. Sometimes you ain't got it. And you need some help. They were looking at me yesterday, and Siobhan just looked at me, just kind of shaking her head. Because I'll try stuff, and then I'll realize, man, this is too tough. I need some help with this. But I got an older brother. His name is Jesus. And I'm telling you, when the weight gets so hard, he's right there with you. He will bear your burden. He will lift your load. He will tell you you can make it. And you get to the point where you say to yourself, I can't go on. The Lord puts the energy in you. Yeah, I'm an energizer bunny. Yep. I'm going to beat my drum. I'm going to say hallelujah to Jesus because he's the one that helps me live. He's the one. So let me introduce you to five groups of people that will put you in chains. First group I call the judgmental people. Did Jeremiah have a share of those? Absolutely he did. He had people, no matter what he did, he just couldn't do right. But you know what it says in Matthew 7:1? It said, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you judge others with, that's the same measure that's going to be used to you. So have you ever seen these critical people, these people who are always right, never wrong, and they're saying to him, say to themselves, well, you've got to reach my standard. What is our standard? The Bible has declared that all of us are sinners in need of God's grace. And sometimes when you're judgmental, you really can't see the good that's in others. Wayne Dyer, motivational speaker, the late Wayne Dyer says, judgment of others prevents us from seeing the good that lies beyond appearances. Judgment of others keeps us from seeing the good that lies beyond appearances. We'd admit everybody's got fault, right? But when all you see is the fault, you're not seeing the total person. There's some good because God created everybody. Judgmental people. And the Bible warns us that we should judge not, that we be not judged. Every one of his fellow Israelites had judged Jeremiah as something who was unpatriotic because he was telling them about their wrong. They saw him as someone who did not love his nation. They saw him as a doomsday prophet because he told them judgment is coming. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to be totally honest with you. Judgment is coming. But the good side of it is God will not judge you if you turn to him. God will forgive your sin. He will heal your land. God can do some amazing things in your life if you simply allow him. So what I want you to do is to not be a part of those who are judgmental and critical. That doesn't mean we shouldn't hold people responsible. That doesn't mean if we see someone and they're standing in the way of a tractor trailer coming that we shouldn't tell them, hey, you need good thing to do is get out of the way. But we do it in a responsible way and we do it in the love of Christ. I said something a couple of Sundays ago, and some of y'all took me seriously. I said that we should all be amazed at God's goodness. Find something that amazes you about God. Second thing, be challenged to do one thing in God's name that will represent him. Some of y'all took me seriously. And guess what? It got you in trouble. But guess what? Using the same thing got you out of trouble. That's the way it works, ladies and gentlemen. That's the way it works. What's our second group of people? Oh, the second group is called the negativity group. Negative. Can we do that? No. That's a negative. You've been seeing these Debbie Downer people. I guess y'all can probably tell by now. I'm kind of positive, right? I'm real positive. I'm very positive. Sometimes I'm too positive. Negativity in Jeremiah's day meant we're not going to change a thing. It meant we will always practice what we've been practicing. And that's what got him in trouble. That negative spirit. Progress cannot take place until you start being positive. You've got to look at the amazing possibilities. And yes, Jeremiah did preach judgment, but he also preached restoration. He told Israel, even though you've done wrong, God will forgive you. He even said to them, this judgment this punishment that God is putting on you right now is only going to last 70 years. But from that 70 years, another prophecy is going to take place. God is going to work out his complete plan. Jeremiah, you would look at him and say, oh, he preached judgment against people. Yes, he did. But he also told them about the promises of God. As a matter of fact, it was Jeremiah who said in chapter 29 and verse 11, God said, I know the plans for you, plans of good and not evil, and to bring you to an expected end. Some of you might be going through some things right now that you're saying to yourself, how in the world can this fit God's plan? Just hold on a little bit longer. God is able to work everything out for your good. If you just trust in him and allow him to work out that plan, the Lord is going to work it out. You're going to hold your head up high and say, God, I thank you that I was not negative. Even though negative things happened to me, I thank God that I was able to rise above. You can do that today. So what's our third group? That brings us to the third group of people. Unforgiving. Unforgiving. Some of the folks just shook their head at Jeremiah and said, you know what, I'm not going to forgive you. Probably you've had some things that happened. People have done some horrendous things to you in your life. And you said, I'm not going to forgive you. Don't do it for their sake. Do it for your sake. Do it for God's name. Because you know what he says? If you forgive others, then God will forgive you. But if you don't forgive them, God is not going to forgive you. Guess what? I want God's forgiveness. Amen. Let me just show you in some of the cultures, in some of the cultures of the world, for a person to not have forgiveness, he was not only taking the crime of the person, but they were actually taking the person and carrying them on their back. All right? Get a picture of that. Person has done this thing maybe 3 or 4 years ago. By now, the memory of that should be dead, but you're still carrying it around. As a matter of fact, every time you see them, you go, ugh. And you're saying, yeah, I can't stand them. Amen. And the weight just gets heavier and heavier. Yeah. But when you say, hey, I forgive, you dump them. Amen. You got it off your shoulders. You're saying to yourself, I'm free. I don't have to go through that anymore. I have forgiven them. I can love them as much as I want because guess what? When I was a heavy load, God forgave my sin. When I could not bear my burden, the Lord released me from my chain. I wasn't going to preach right now, but I got to preach because of his goodness, because of his amazing love. Every one of us was being carried into captivity by the devil. But a captain by the name of Captain Jesus came into the crowd and he said, I'm loosing you from your bond. I'm loosing the chain off your life. And guess what? He who the Son sets free, can I preach to you? Shall be free indeed. You wonder why I run. You wonder why I jump. It's because I can jump because I'm free. You need to know his freedom today. You need to know his grace. And look at somebody, tell him, when you got it, you got it. And guess what? I got it. Do you get it? You got to have forgiveness, folk. That's why folks are so frustrated in this world. That's why they're so angry. That's why every day they get up, they're so mad. Don't know why they mad. How's your day going? But when you are forgiven, that stuff is off of you. That was yesterday. God did so much yesterday that today I feel good. Don't even have to go through all of that stuff. But you know, unforgiving people can always have you pushing the repeat button. The repeat. Remember what so-and-so did to you? No. I threw away the tape. What's the next group? I'm almost finished. We'll hear some more singing in a little bit. Self-will people. Boy, that's me. I said, Lord, you want to leave that one out? He said, nope. Matter of fact, my name means William. In German, it means strong will. Well, my mama said I was hard-headed. self-willed people. And I admit that. I admit that. But I learned something new, learned something different, Shelby. I learned that you can turn it over to God. I learned that you can depend on Him and God's grace will guide you. David, His love will preserve you each and every day of your life. Matter of fact, God cares so much about you, Gary, that He's got your whole future planned. Isn't that, that's amazing. That's this amazing thing about God. So why should I continue to be self-willed? Because I don't know what's ahead of me. But Loretta, the one who's ahead of all of us, said, I got your future. Come on. I know the plans. I know the future that I have for you. Jesse said, I know what the plans are. You're probably thinking, baby, I'm 59 now. She had a birthday yesterday. Probably saying to yourself, I don't know the future. God says, I do. As a matter of fact, I got everything planned out, not only about your past, but into the infinite future. A million years from now, you're going to be praising God. You're going to be loving Jesus. You're going to be saying God is good because He has your future planned. And what are the dangers of self-will? Jeremiah 14 says, there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You got to work with other people. Other people that you may not know, may have never met. You got to learn to work with them. But if you've got your mind made up and got everything settled, it's going to be very difficult to deal with other people who don't look like you, who don't act like you, who don't vote like you, who don't wear the same clothes that you wear. Have you ever noticed if the world was like you, it'd be pretty boring? Matter of fact, it'd be just plain long jacked up. So we got different people in this amazing world. And every one of them is the object of God's grace. Every single one of them. So imagine yourself, as I prepare to close, imagine yourself waking up one day and you're Jeremiah. How do you handle people? How do you treat them? How do you love them even though you know that they've got some weaknesses, they've got some stuff going on in your life? How do you minister to them? How do you meet their need? By the way, the word minister is too religious. It means to simply to serve. Amen. To serve, to help them. Whatever way they need something, we glorify it and we put reverend in front of it and little alphabets after it and say that means minister. No, it simply means to serve. How do you do that? Especially in the day and age now where we're plagued with this group of people called the fearful ones. People have a right to be fearful if you're in the world. Our oceans are heating up. Somebody ought to notice something. Not only are we facing contamination from chemicals, we're facing contamination from the stuff that goes through our mind. Are we troubled? Should be. But how can you get beyond that? If you know without a shadow of doubt that God's in control, you're not worried about it. Amen. The oceans can heat up to a boil and you still know that God's still in control. I said to my wife the other day, the world's going to adjust itself. It's going to find a way of correcting some of the situations that man has gotten us into. But guess what? The world may do it without you. Which means right now it's upon us. So what's the first thing that you need to do? Stop being fearful. Fear does nothing but confuse you and causes you to not look at the situation the way that you should. You will never solve a problem if all you, oh my God. I started to get into a Laurel and Hardy comedy, but I'm not going to do that. Tony, I'll just give you the shortened version of it. At some point, you got to come to your senses. Paul, writing to one of his young men that he trained in ministry by the name of Timothy, He tells him, he said, Timothy, don't be carried away with fear. God did not give us the spirit of fear, but he gave us the spirit of power. I like that word. It doesn't mean all the time energy. It doesn't mean that you got to have strength to leap a tall building or to move something. It simply means authority. God has given us a spirit of authority and of a sound mind. How good is it to have a sound mind, to be able to sit down and say, wait a minute, okay, this just happened. Can't believe it happened, but it did happen. Now what do I do? How do I handle this? And when you turn to God, and the Lord said, I'm so glad you turned to me, because I had designed this in your life. I knew that at this point in history, you were going to go through exactly what you're going through right now. And I got a perfect plan for you to get through this. But you can't do it in fear. You got to do it in faith. You can't do it thinking that everything's going to fall apart, because guess what? You're still together right now. Am I talking to somebody? And what God, here's how good God gets. He said, now, I'm not going to let you work your way through it. I'm going to walk with you through it. Are y'all with me? As I close with Jeremiah, here he is walking out of Jerusalem. Some of the people looking back, and they're weeping as they walk and having these chains or shackles on their feet, and they're trying to walk. And the people that are parading them out, they're using them as a skeptical. Some of them were barefooted. Some of them were plain long naked. As Isaiah, another prophet, he described them as being a group of people who had been looted, robbed of every possession that they had in their life, and all they had was their soul. Coming out of Jerusalem, tears drenching their eyes. Jeremiah, likewise, he's crying. He's pleading with God, but then he realizes, wait a minute, I only have a physical chain. I don't have a spiritual chain. I don't have a mental change, because I still know that God's able to work it out. I'm really unshackled, but I'm going to go along with them just to encourage them and let them know it's going to work out. What is our job as a Christian? It's to look at this messed up world and say to the person who's at their wit's end, it's going to work out. I don't have the answer, but I got Jesus. I got the Lord of glory in my life, and whether it be today, tomorrow, or 70 years from now, God is going to work it out. All you got to do is hold on for just a little bit longer. Look at somebody, tell them, hold on for just a little bit longer, and everything is going to work out. It's going to work out. God never made a mistake and never plans to. So I want to close with a little saying. I want to close with something. I was at a seminar training this week and heard a little saying. This little phrase, actually Carl Sandburg used it to describe what life was all about, or what time was all about, and Lillian Dixon kind of picked up on that term, and from that came up with this little phrase. And I think it fits well if your life is going to be free, for you to think about it as having a coin. I don't have one up here. Somebody throw me a quarter, I'll give it back to you. No, I'm just kidding. Life is like a coin. You get to spend it any way you choose. But always remember, you only have one. Only one. You'd better spend it wisely. If you're going to be unshackled, spend your life wisely. Sometimes you don't get to say, I'm sorry. Because life happens just that fast. God bless you. How many of y'all feel like you're free? I'm going to get the choir singing along with me. I thought about this, Sister LaPrade. I thought about this. I'm free. Praise the Lord. I'm free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting. I'm just confessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. How many of y'all free today? Stand on your feet if you're free. I'm free. Praise the Lord. I'm free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Let's say it one more time. Oh, I'm free. I'm free. Are you free today? Praise the Lord. No longer bound. No more chains. My soul is resting. Well, yes, it is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to give the invitation if there be one today. Maybe we've said something that had prompted your mind and got you to thinking about it. Said, Pastor, you know, I do have some chains I need to ask God to release me from. If that's you today, simply say that prayer. Lord Jesus, loose me from these things. Help me to live as a Christian. If you're not a Christian, what a great day to be set free. What a great day to say, no more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Hallelujah. I'm free. Amen. Amen. Will there be others today? Will you come? If you're online, I know you can't get in here and come to the altar, but what you can do, contact us at our website, crossroadbc.com. We'll be happy to correspond with you and to help you to find out more about the love of Christ. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. My wife tells me I need to take the steps now. 70-year-old man need to take steps. Hey, okay, amen. So this is a young lady that I visited in the hospital. And you were struggling for life. But guess who gave you life? For this moment right here. Amen. 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 So Vincent, you and your family, you love God and love Jesus. Getting your daughters baptized, both of them? Amen. We're going to get y'all to fill out the information. And what's your name?
Haley.
Hey, that's right. That's right, Haley. So, Haley, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin and that he rose again just for you? Amen. And you're willing to give your life to him? Amen. Amen. What's your name?
Hannah.
Huh? Speaking of a good ear. Hannah. Okay. Haley and Hannah. Okay. So, Hannah, do you love Jesus today? You believe he's your Savior? You want to invite him into your heart? Amen. Amen. So I'm going to say a prayer with you all, okay? Okay. Just want you to repeat after me and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me from my sin. Give me eternal life through you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, Haley and Hannah, do you all believe that prayer? I believe God would do exactly what he said he would say. You're willing to let the church know that you got Christ in your life? Can you do that? Okay. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Go next to be seated. Haley and Hannah Tucker just prayed to receive Christ. I believe they've been loving God for a long time. And amen. But I remember when this young lady was in the hospital in Roanoke, and they were praying.
She was born in 26 weeks.
Yeah. But look at her today. How old are you now?
12
years old. Isn't that something? Did you not know that Jesus was in the temple at age 12? Here you are in church at age 12, trusting in Jesus. That's cool, isn't it? Amen, amen. And Ms. Hannah, how you doing? You love Jesus too? And you want to get baptized too? Amen, amen. If that's your desire as well? Amen. So they've come receiving Christ and seeking baptism. So I'm going to entertain a motion that we receive them into our, as a baptism, candidate for baptism.
Well, Pastor, all the motion that Haley and Hannah, Martha and Mary, as two sisters in the Bible, that they come this morning to give their young souls to Christ. So they become candidates for baptism, confessing Christ and join the church of their choice, but hoping it will be Crossroads.
Amen. We heard the motion is their second. And second and move that Haley and Hannah Tucker would become candidates for baptism based on the confession of their faith, and that after receiving baptism, be given the right hand of fellowship and the choice to join whichever church of their choosing. So, heard the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any contraries? So moved and carried. Well, it looks like that you all are candidates for baptism. And I want to tell you this. That little saying that I gave you a little while ago, your life is a coin. You can spend it any way you want, but use it wisely because you can only spend it once. No better way can you spend it than by giving your heart to Christ.
Amen.
It's what I did, what your parents did, and it means everything. Amen? Okay. All right. So we're going to be getting ready to baptize you all. It'll probably be in August. Is that okay? That'll work out. All right. Y'all are going to do good. You know that? You're going to do all right.
Amen.
You're going to do all right. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to get you to fill that out. And where's Ms. DeWarn? Yes. Mm-hmm. And Ms. DeWarn is over there, so you'll see her after. So you can sit right here and be fine. Give the Lord another hand. Amen. Amen. We've played. Matter of fact, Vincent told me some points about playing golf, so I can't wait to get him back out on the golf course and let him know what I learned. So, but it's a joy to serve Jesus. It's a joy to serve the Lord. Right now, while they're getting prepared and you're getting ready for the offering, let's turn our attention again to Miss Barbara LaPrade and company. Amen. Give them a hand.
Waiting on Jesus.